Vaishnav Ninda by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Of all the various offenses a jiva can commit, no offense is as severe as offending a Vaishnava. Thus it is crucial to deliberate upon the meaning of Vaishnav Ninda, according to the Shastras. It is said in Skanda Purana, Nindam kurvanti ye mudha Vaishnavan mahatmanam, patanti pitribhi sardham, maha raurava samgite. Hanti ninditi vaidveshti, Vaishnava nabhinandati, krudyate yatino harsham, darshane patatanishat. Translation: those fools that blaspheme those great souls who are devoted to Vishnu fall down into the hell known as Maha Raurava, along with their descendants. These are six types of behavior that result in such a fall down: killing a Vaishnava, blaspheming him, feeling malice towards him, not greeting him upon seeing him, becoming angry with him, and not feeling happiness upon seeing him. It is written in the Bhagavatam, Nindam Bhagavata Shrinvams, Tatparasya Janasyava, Tato na Paiti Yasopi, Yatyadha Sukritachchuta. Translation: anyone who fails to leave the place where he hears blasphemy of the Lord, or blasphemy of those who have dedicated their lives to him, the Vaishnava, loses their Sukriti and falls down. Four categories of jivas. Having thus been warned about offending Vaishnavas, it is essential to first ascertain who is a Vaishnava and understand which activities cause Vaishnav aparad. All jivas belong to one of four categories: ordinary jivas, religious jivas, brahmanas and Vaishnav praya jivas, or those who resemble Vaishnavas, and Vaishnav jivas. Sin and aparad. With the understanding that Sri Krishna resides in all beings, one should show respect to every jiva. Amongst them, some special honor should be shown to religious jivas. It is an essential duty to show honor to the Brahmana jiva and the Vaishnav praya jiva, and we are instructed to worship the feet of the Vaishnav jiva. If we neglect to show respect to the ordinary jivas, special honor to the religious jiva, and proper respect to Brahmana jivas and Vaishnav praya jivas, then we invite sin upon ourselves. But to show disrespect or dishonor to a Vaishnav jiva is an aparad. Performing ordinary penances can erase so many sins, but an aparad is not dispelled so easily. Sins influence the gross and subtle bodies. Aparad specifically affects the jiva's very soul and causes him to fall down. Thus, whoever wishes to perform bhajan of the Lord must guard against committing aparad. This is compulsory. Three kinds of Vaishnavas. In the Srimad Bhagavat, there are three shlokas that are found below that describe the categories of Vaishnavas as Vaishnava, Vaishnavatara, and Vaishnavatama, or primary, greater, and outstanding. The Kanishta Vaishnava is described thus in Bhagavatam, Archayam eva hareye, pujamya shadayehate, natad bhakteshu chanyeshu, sabhakta prakrita smrita. Translation: one who accepts a mundane lineage and engages in worshipping the Srimurti of Hari, yet does not worship the devotees of Hari, is a Kanishta Vaishnava, which means he is just entering the science of devotion, or bhakti tattva. The actual difference between the mundane faith of this world and faith based on the Shastras, or Shastriya Shraddha, is that mundane faith only manifests from worldly education. Shastriya Shraddha means that one develops faith in the words of the Shastras, and with help of its pramanas, or scriptural evidence, then faith in the Vaishnavas arises. When Shastriya Shraddha arises, then the jiva becomes a Madhyam Adhikari Vaishnav. Until the time that Shastriya Shraddha appears in a sadhaka, his tendency to perform karma does not diminish. Thus, Sriman Mahaprabhu has said, Shuddha Vaishnava nahi kintu Vaishnavera praya. Such persons are not pure Vaishnavas, but they are similar to Vaishnavas. Only by genuine sadhu sangha can the Kanishta Vaishnava, who is a Vaishnava praya jiva, become a pure Vaishnava, Then there is the Madhyama Vaishnava, as stated in Bhagavatam. Ishvare tad adhineshu balisheshu dvishashtucha prema maitri kripopeksha yakaroti samadhyama. Translation. One who has love for the Supreme Lord, who is friendly to the Vaishnavas, kind to those who are inexperienced in bhakti tattva, namely jivas who are Vaishnava praya, and for living beings that are inimical or unfavorable towards the Lord and the Vaishnavas, he shows negligence. Thus he takes the position of indifference, tolerance, or rejection. Considering even the envious to be inexperienced in the field of bhakti, the Madhyam Vaishnava gives them the opportunity to serve the Vaishnavas. Only a Madhyama Vaishnava is qualified to serve the Vaishnavas. Because Kanishta Vaishnavas do not engage in such service, they are known as Vaishnav Praya. They cannot be called Vaishnavas. Then, there is the Uttama Vaishnava, as stated in Bhagavatam. Sarva Bhuteshu Yapashyed Bhagavad Bhavam Atmana Bhutani Bhagavatyatmani Esha Bhagavatotamaha. Translation. He who experiences the presence of the Lord in all living beings, who perceives that all entities, including himself, are able to receive divine connection with the truth pertaining to Bhagavan or Bhagavat Tattva, and that their very existence rests in Bhagavan, who sees everyone in the world as a Vaishnava and considers them all to be under his shelter, such a person is known as an Uttama Vaishnava. Such a devotee sees no difference between a Vaishnava and a non-Vaishnava. Thus it can be ascertained that when those who were at the stage of Kanishta that attain Kshatriya Shraddha and become qualified to serve the Vaishnavas should be known thereafter as Vaishnavas, until they attain the other symptoms of a Madhyama Vaishnava. A Madhyama Vaishnava is known as Vaishnavatara. The Uttama Vaishnava is known as Vaishnavatama. Here it is important to understand how Mahaprabhu has revealed these three types of Vaishnavas to us. It has been discussed in this way, from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Ateva yara muke eka krishna nam seta vaishnava kariha tanhara samana. Translation. One who chants the name of Krishna even once is a Vaishnava. Therefore you should show all respect to him. Again in the Chaitanya Charitamrita it is stated, Krishna nama nirantara yanhara vadane Se se Vaishnavatara bhajatahara charane. Translation. One who constantly chants Krishna's name is Vaishnavatara, and one should render service to his feet. Again in the Chaitanya Charitamrita it is stated, Yanhara dharshane muke aise Krishna nam tanhara janiya tumi Vaishnava pradhan kramakari kahi prabhu Vaishnava lakshana Vaishnava Vaishnavatara Ara Vaishnavatama. Translation. One who inspires others to chant the name of Krishna merely by their darshan is known as Vaishnavatama and is considered to be the topmost Vaishnava. Thus Mahaprabhu explained the gradations of Vaishnavas and their qualities. Vaishnava, Vaishnavatara, and Vaishnavatama. According to the instructions of Sriman Mahaprabhu, simply by uttering Krishna Nam, one attains the platform of a Vaishnava. Amongst Kanishta devotees, those who are considered as Vaishnav Praya, namely those who are considered as Vaishnava Bhas, or possessing the external appearance of a Vaishnava, only chant Nama Bhas, not the real name. Those that are able to chant Shuddhanam even once are pure devotees. Those who constantly chant Shuddhanam are Vaishnavatara. Those that make the holy name appear on the lips of others simply by their very presence are considered to be Vaishnavatama. At this point, another observation needs to be made, and that is that becoming a pure devotee does not depend upon taking formal diksha, etc. It is said that diksha is the process where one is elevated to the position of Vaishnav Praya by accepting a mantra for worshipping the deity of Hari. In terms of Nam Tattva, Diksha is not essential. As the Lord has said in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Eka Krishna Name Kare sarva papa kshaya, nava vidha bhakti purna nama haitehaya. Translation: even uttering Krishna's name once destroys all sins. It is only through the holy name that one achieves perfection through the ninefold processes of bhakti. It is further stated in Chaitanya Charitamrita: diksha purascharya vidhi apeksha nakare, jihva sparshe achandala, sabhare udhare. Translation: in order to chant the holy name, one is not required to undergo the process of diksha, or the rite of purascharya. When it connects with the tongue, the holy name delivers everyone, even chandalas. It is further stated in Chaitanya Charitamrita: anusanga phale kare, samsare rakshaya, chitta akarshaye kare, Krishna premodhaya. Translation: simultaneously, while chanting the holy name, the repeated cycle of birth and death is eliminated. Thus, the heart is attracted to Krishna, and divine love is awakened. It is further stated in Chaitanya Charitamrita: ataiva yandramukhe eka Krishna nam se vaishnava karitara paramasamana. Translation: one who even chants the holy name once is considered to be a Vaishnava. Therefore, you should show him great honor. Namabhas and the pure name. There is no time to discuss the difference between the holy name and Namabhas here. However, concerning this point, this much can be said. When the name of Krishna is chanted with Shastriya Shraddha, which means with pure surrender or Sharanagati, then it is actually the name proper. When the name is chanted with various desires, or when it is covered by jnana, karma, vairagya, etc., it is namabhas. The chanting of namabhas can result in mukti, but namabhas never appears from the mouth of a Vaishnava. He only chants Shuddhanam. When the holy name is chanted by one who has knowledge of his intrinsic spiritual form, or swarup, who realizes that nama and nami, or the named and the name, are non-different, and who realizes that the holy name only manifests within the spiritual senses of the jiva, then it can be said to be the name proper. When that name manifests upon someone's tongue even once, that person becomes a Vaishnava. When the name does appear, all of one's sins, both prarabdha and aprarabdha, or manifest and unmanifest sins, are destroyed. Prema arises the instant the holy name appears. A Vaishnava is naturally decorated with all good qualities and is free of all faults. It is stated in the Charitamrita: sarva maha guna gana Vaishnava sharire, Krishna bhakte Krishnera guna sakali sanchare. Translation: all great qualities reside in the body of a Vaishnava, and all the qualities of Krishna manifest in his devotees. It is further stated in the Chaitanya Charitamrita: vidhi dharma chadi bhaje Krishnera charana, nishidha papa chare tara kabhu nahimana. Translation: although a Vaishnava may neglect the regulative principles, or vidhi dharma, he worships Krishna's lotus feet. Thus his mind is never tainted by the desire to perform sinful activities. It is further stated in Chaitanya Charitamrita: agyane va hayayadhi papa upastita, Krishna tare shudhakare nakaraya prayaschita. Translation: however, if a Vaishnava somehow performs sinful activities, Krishna purifies him, and that devotee does not have to go through any type of ritual atonement. It is further stated in the Chaitanya Charitamrita: jnana vairagyadi bhaktirakabhu nahi anga ahimsa yama niyamadhi bule Krishna bhakta sanga. Translation: jnana and vairagya, etc., are not limbs of bhakti. Non-violence, control over the mind and senses, etc., automatically follow a devotee of Krishna. It is further stated in Chaitanya Charitamrita: asat sangatyag e vaishnava achar Stri Sangi Ekasadhu Krishna Bhakta Ar. Translation: It is the proper conduct of a Vaishnava to reject bad association, such as those who associate with women, the unholy, and those who are averse to Krishna. From the very day that the holy name of Krishna manifests on a person's tongue, even once, that jiva will lose all taste for sinful activities. What to speak of sinful activities, he will also lose taste in pious activities. The Vaishnava, Vaishnavatara, and Vaishnavatama are without material contamination, or Niranjana. They are pure, or Nirmala, and sinless, or Nishpapa. However, if it is seen that a person has an inclination towards performing sinful acts, then he should not be counted amongst the Vaishnavas. Even Kanishta Vaishnavas are not inclined towards pious or sinful activities. Pure Vaishnavas are faultless and therefore cannot be criticized. Those that do so spread lies about Vaishnavas and speak ill about them. Such wicked persons enviously criticize Vaishnavas in the following three ways. Wicked persons discuss faults that were present in a person before Shuddha Bhakti manifested within him. However, when Bhakti manifests in the heart, all faults quickly disappear. During the short time that unwanted desires are being removed from the heart, wicked people criticize him for any faults that still remain within him. The third topic of discussion for wicked people is that although a pure Vaishnava has no inclination towards faulty activities, sometimes, without any conceivable reason, some prohibitive habits manifest. Such faults never remain permanently within a Vaishnava. However, wicked people discuss these faults and consequently fall down due to the fault of blaspheming a Vaishnava. Therefore, in Namatattva Ratnamala it has been said, Prag bhakte rudyad dosha kshaya vashishta evacha daivot panascha bhaktanam naiva lochya kadachana sad udeshyamrate yastu mrishya pavadhamevacha doshana lochayat yeva sasadhu nindako adhama. Translation: One should not consider the faults of a devotee, especially those impurities that were there before devotion manifest within him, those that temporarily remain but are presently perishing through his practice of bhakti, and those that may appear in him by chance. One who reflects upon these faults is guilty of sadhuninda and is most fallen. O readers, any faults that were previously in a Vaishnava before bhakti appeared within him should never be considered, unless there is some noble intention in doing so. A Vaishnava should never be criticized for the insignificant residue of his previous faults, which is why Sri Krishna has explained the following in Bhagavad Gita. Api chet sudaracharo bhajate mam ananyabhak sadhureva samantavya samyag vyavasito hisa kshipram bhavati dharmatma sasvachantim nigacchati kaunteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashati. Translation: Even if one is impious and has committed abominable acts, if he worships me with one-pointed devotion, such a person should be considered saintly, because his determination is perfect. He quickly becomes virtuous again and attains everlasting peace. O Kaunteya, declare it boldly that my devotee never perishes. Through the influence of bhakti, all abominable activities that may have existed before the appearance of bhakti, which seem to be one's very own nature, are reduced day by day, and are finally destroyed within a short time. Discussing the faults of a Vaishnava without a virtuous intention results in Vaishnav aparad. If one sees some fault in a Vaishnava that appears due to divine providence, one should still not blaspheme that Vaishnava. In this regard, Karabhajana Rishi has said, Svapadhamulam bhajata priyasya Tyaktanya bhavasya hari paresha vikarma yachota patitam katanchit dunoti sarvam hridi sannivishta. Translation: One who gives up everything to engage in worshipping the lotus feet of Hari is very dear to the Lord. Even if somehow the tendency to perform sinful activities appears within him, the Supreme Lord, who resides within the heart, destroys the reactions to such sins. Apart from well-intended discussions of those faults that may arise accidentally, one is liable to commit the offense of criticizing a Vaishnava. The fundamental point here is that slandering and blaspheming a Vaishnava, due to any of the three faults previously mentioned, leads to Nam Aparad. And if one commits Nam Aparad, then divine revelation, or Spurti, of the holy name will never manifest. One cannot become a Vaishnava without such revelation of the holy name. At this stage in our discussion, an opposing point of view may arise. Would it be proper to deliberate on other types of faults found in a Vaishnava, besides the three that have already been mentioned? The answer is that no other type of fault can exist within a Vaishnava apart from the three mentioned above. If someone has another type of fault that does not fit in with one of these three divisions, then according to the Shastras, they cannot be considered to be a Vaishnava. Actually, we should seriously consider the fact that without proper motivation, it is improper to reflect upon the faults of any jiva. To blaspheme a Vaishnava is an offense. Blaspheming other jivas is a sin. A Vaishnava has no desire to perform such sinful activities. Yet if one has proper intentions in pointing out another's faults, then Shastra does not consider that as an offense. There are three types of proper intention. If we expose someone's sin in order that they ultimately attain auspiciousness, then such discussions are favorable. If we deliberate on a sinner's vices in order to benefit the whole world, then this should be counted as an auspicious action. If such deliberations are for one's own spiritual benefit, then such an aspect carries no fault. When one reflects upon the histories concerning the previous life of Valmiki, or the previous activities of Jagai and Madai, etc., then such deliberations are actually free of sin. When a disciple prays to the Guru to identify a true Vaishnava, the Guru, desiring auspiciousness for the disciple and the whole world, may draw attention to a non-Vaishnava, whose behavior is actually unholy, as well as those who are saintly Vaishnavas. With the intention to guide others to accept shelter at the feet of real Vaishnavas, it is not sadhuninda, or Vaishnavaparad, to reject the company of such deceitful dharmadvajis, or religious pretenders. Even if criticism arises towards a specific person, it is still free from any fault. These are all examples of criticizing with a proper motivation. O readers, you must think carefully upon this serious subject matter. According to proper devotional conclusions, you must show honor to true Vaishnavas, and without any hesitation whatsoever, abandon the company of non-devotees. If one blasphemes a genuine Vaishnava, then the transcendental truth concerning the holy name, or Nam Tattva, will never manifest within one's heart. In this way, the Bhagavat instructs us, Tato dusangam utsrija satsu sajeta buddhiman, Santa evasya chidanti mano vyasangam uktibhi. Translation. It is for all these reasons that those who are intelligent reject the association of the wicked and associate with those who are saintly. This is because the instructions of such saintly persons cut through the excessive unholy attachments found within the mind. Do not think that by considering oneself to be a sadhu, one can serve those that are asadhu and receive the same result as serving a genuine sadhu. As mentioned previously, it is essential for a Madhyamadhikari to serve a sadhu, because the Kanishta does not serve sadhus, and the Uttama Adhikari is not able to distinguish the difference between a sadhu and a non-sadhu. Since you are all Madhyamadhikaris, it is mandatory for you to search for a sadhu, befriend him, and also show mercy upon the non-devotees, or in some instances, disregard them. If you abandon your own adhikar, then you will be at fault. The Bhagavat's instruction in this regard to faults and virtue is this. Sve sve dikare yanishta, saguna parikirtita, Viparyayas tudoshasyad ubhayor esha nishchaya. Translation. Steadiness in one's own proper position is considered to be piety. The opposite is considered to be a fault. In this way, the two are clearly ascertained. Even if unconsciously you come into bad association, you will still become an offender to bhakti. Thus the Bhagavad says,
Sangoya samsrater hetu, asatsu vihito dhya, sa eva sadhu shokrito, nisangatvaya kalpate.
Translation. If, due to faulty intelligence, one unwittingly comes into bad company, this will still lead to one falling into material bondage. However, in the same way, if one accepts the association of sadhus, such association will easily lead one away from bad company. The glories of the great devotees or Uttama Bhaktas, who see everyone as saintly, is declared in such devotional literature as Bhaktamala, Prapanamrita, etc. However, Madhyama Vaishnavas should not imitate this. Such behavior leads to the fault known as Anadhikaracharcha, or not acting according to one's proper qualification, and they will fall down in no time. May the pure devotees mercifully consider our dissertation on all these subjects to have been properly motivated. This article was first printed in the May and July issues of the fifth volume of Sajjana Toshini in 1893.